Okay. For those of you that haven't been regular participants in our study group meetings, this year we're reading A New Design for Living by Ernest Holmes. And today's chapter is The Power of Love. Now, I know probably some of you are thinking Celine Dion and why don't I play that song, but I listened to that this morning. And to be honest with you, it would confuse the topic, I think. But it's a beautiful song. But love itself is a really general term. And, you know, it's used in all kinds of ways. For instance, I could say, I love tapioca pudding. And it just means that I enjoy eating it. And it doesn't mean I'm, like, crazy about it and eating it obsessively. And I could say I enjoy spending time with study group, meaning I derive a great deal of pleasure from participating in the meetings and connecting with all of you. But so that's like a level up from I love tapioca pudding. And if you say I love my parents, that kind of adds a shade of intensity, perhaps. And if you have a crush on somebody, the feeling's even more intense. Or if you're, you know, totally in love with somebody, the word carries an even more intense range of emotional attachment. And so, you know, when you're thinking about the power of love, it's all over the place. And so I did a little search on what is love. And liking is described as having positive thoughts and feelings towards someone or something, and finding that person's company or that thing rewarding. We also experience closeness towards the people we like. For instance, those that we want to be emotionally intimate with, we find a lot of love flowing. And in the Science of Mind textbook, at least the 1926 edition, I found the definition of love to be the givingness of self. So, it's funny, you know, you always think about receiving love, but actually it's all about putting it out there. So our brain behaves differently when we're in love with someone compared to when we like somebody, as most of you probably already know. And when we love somebody, we experience the same positive thoughts and experiences as when we like a person, but we experience that deep sense of caring and commitment to that person. Ideally, there's a lot of giving, as Holmes describes it in the textbook, and receiving. So it's not a one-sided affair, but it's equal. And this is what we call interdependence, which some have labeled, equivalent to love. And today is a very special day for me. It's why I'm wearing bright red. It's Swiss National Day. And back in 1291, three Alpine cantons swore the Oath of Confederation. And that was the beginning of the country we now know as Switzerland. And it is celebrated with, at least around here, it's celebrated with bonfires and fireworks and a lot of eating and Alpenhorns and the Swiss mountain dogs. It's a big cause for celebration. And I have a Swiss flag hanging out in my patio for all my neighbors to look at. And so for me, it's a big day. And, you know, the beginning of the cantons that swore the oath of Confederation, that was the beginning of the interdependence that the Swiss eventually formed into the country we know today. It just started raining here. So Holmes tells a story, and I love this in the chapter. This comes from a man who was given a guided tour of heaven and hell. In hell, he saw people seated at long tables laden with food, but they were thin, hungry, and emaciated. They had a long spoon tied to each arm, such long spoons that they were unable to feed themselves. When heaven was visited, he also found people sitting at the long tables, and it was laden with food, and they too had a long spoon tied to each arm, but everybody was well fed and happy. Why? They fed each other. That's the great image of the givingness of self. So if the feeling of interdependence is gone, the absence of love is often hate or anger. And think of all the things that love attracts, abundance and health. And according to Holmes, hate causes the body to malfunction and the organs become less interdependent. So he talks about this could affect the heart rhythm. The digestive tract wouldn't work properly, gallstones may form, et cetera, et cetera. So when this happens, and perhaps you've been through this yourself, you begin to dislike your body or say, man, I feel like total doo-doo right now. And we start complaining, we start telling everybody, and this just creates more physical problems. So for all of us, the physical state of health that we enjoy depends upon the amount of love or hate that we have in our thoughts at any given moment. Ram Dass said, we're all just walking each other home, and I love that quote. Many of us got a good taste of independence over the past year during the enforced isolation, caused by the pandemic and being told that we had to basically stay home. So is independence the opposite of interdependence, even though independence doesn't mean hatred? Perhaps. It might be time to think about walking each other home again, now that things are easing up a bit, perhaps. But wear your mask. And interdependence is a state where two people or things are mutually reliant upon each other. And an example from the past year was, how having a ready and adequate food supply became really important because, going to the grocery store became more of an effort since you had to mask, you had to stand in line, at least at my grocery store. But at the same time, behind that, I don't know if any of you have a little shortage of toilet paper, but, it all of a sudden supply chain became big news. Having an adequate food supply means that some people have to go out and raise the food, whether they feel well or not. And others have to work in the stores. And they were called, frontline workers. And customers had to come to the store or have the food delivered. A lot of people lost their jobs during the pandemic, and they didn't have enough money for food. And so there were a lot of, at least in my area, there were a lot of places like churches and counties that set up food lines, and people would drive up and get food for the week. So the fact that there was a pandemic helped to raise our awareness of interdependency. And like I said, the food chain is the epitome of interdependence when we think about it. From the animals and plants that depend on each other, to all the farmers and processors and truckers, store operators, stockers, cashiers, the list goes on and on, to make sure that you and I are fed and that, our families are able to survive. So then I decided to start playing a game with myself. And I realized that interdependence, when you think about it, there's a lot of appreciation that goes back and forth. And so if I saw something I felt neutral about, or then I like, I think about how we are interdependent. For instance, I could think about roads and how I need roads to get from one place to the other. And so I begin to appreciate the road. And so there's an interdependency there, because if it weren't for me and all of us, there wouldn't be a need for roads. So another example, and one of my favorites, is the post office. And I started thinking about how grateful I am that they send the mail that I need to come send out. And they sell stamps. They make it easy for me to mail out packages, because I'm always mailing and sending people stuff. And by the time I'm done thinking about all the way that the post office benefits me, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And now when I go by the post office, I think about all the things I love about the post office. So for me, this has been a game that's getting easier with practice. But many of us chose not to interact socially during the pandemic, and we became more aware of those relationships that did continue to exist. And so our loved ones and friends and acquaintances can become a safety net, even if there's no contact in the physical. And, you know, let's take tools like FaceTime or Zoom or email. Those are tools that we've used to stay in touch, perhaps to keep working as well for those of us that are working. And 10,000 people are behind those tools that make it possible for us to stay connected with our friends. That's another example of the interdependence. And so the reason I'm bringing up these examples is to show you how almost everything in our lives reflects some form of interdependence. So getting comfortable with the notion of interdependence also paves the way for us to give and receive the help and support that we need. And that would lead to an enormous amount of positive outcomes. And when we don't have that sense of interdependence in our lives, a lot of times we do feel isolated. But really, when you think about it, we're all part of a whole. Whether we choose to feel connected to it or not, it's kind of up to us. We don't have to be unhealthy in our dependence on others. It's like a child. You raise a child, and it's free to come and go as, you know, as it matures and begins to lead a life of its own. But that doesn't mean that the love ever ends. It means that we connect with a feeling of love, even on an international level. And then Holmes gives the example of kittens that are petted and loved. They grow faster and they tend to be happier. Or plants. For instance, Mary Rose, she loves her plants. And let me tell you, her garden is fabulous. She has the most beautiful flowers. And it's all based on the love, amount of love that she gives them. And so both giving and receiving love makes things healthier. In all of our relationships, all of them, react to the creative and the healing power of being. Bring out the Celine Dion. The person that we need to show the most love to is ourselves. It's sometimes easy to get down on ourselves, but when we do love ourselves, it radiates and touches other people. They can feel it. Love yourself, and other people can feel it. And we need to forgive ourselves for any errors or lack of love in the past. We need to just think about how much we love ourselves and how much we love the people and the things around us. Because that's who God is. So Holmes says, love heals. It brings peace and maintains harmony on all levels. Love is the expression of infinite mind as creation. As we accept this expression in us, as we express our love for God, as we let love flow from us into the world about us and let it return to us as it must, we discover that all else has been included. Love is the greatest power there is. If we avail ourselves, we will serve well. And that's so true. I was looking up, I was being silly earlier, and I was looking up the power of love, and I saw so many instances in that search result that said, love is the greatest power in the world, and it really is. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to close this with a meditation on the subject of love that's read before the Kaddish, which is a hymn of praises about God, which is recited during Jewish prayer service. Give what's left of me away to children and old men that wait to die. And if you need to cry, cry for your brother walking the street beside you. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give me. I want to leave you something better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people I've known or loved. And if you can't give me away, at least let me live in your eyes and not in your mind. You could love me best by letting hands touch hands and by letting go of children that need to be free. Love doesn't die, people do. So, when that's all that's left of me is love, just give me away. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, Judy.
No problem.
That was lovely. Can I say I loved it?
Yes. And I love you.